something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message Christ Consciousness.
Hallelujah. Jesus, in his earth walk, suffered what human beings suffered. But in the midst of the suffering, he won. The Bible tells us he laid aside his glory and didn't seize on his reputation as the Son of God. He put it aside and functioned like us. He was hungry like you. He was thirsty. You remember on the cross, he said, "I thirst." He wanted water. He was tired and slept. That's the way Jesus was. Jesus was tired. Can you imagine Jesus at the end of the day? Didn't you read it? The Bible says he was weary with his journey. He had walked a long distance and became tired. That's what the Bible says. Jesus was tired from walking. Sat at the well, tired and hungry. His disciples went to try to get him food. By the time they brought him food, he didn't feel like eating anymore because he had been sharing the word. Oh, some of us feel the same way. I feel the same way a lot of times. Sometimes I feel hungry, but wait until I get to share the word of God. I forget about food until I'm done. I just don't think about food then. No time. You like, wow, this is just the best. You know why? Because your spirit is where the life is. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes from the mouth of God." Every rhema. Oh, glory to God. I hope you'll understand this. I'm sure you will. He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema." That means God's word for the now. God's word to me today. God's word concerning me now. When I hear that word in my spirit, and I voice it, he says, I live by the word. Rhema is a spoken word. Rhema is not the word that you think in your mind. Rhema is that word that comes to your spirit and you voice it. It's got to be spoken to be rhema. God gives it to you. You hear in your spirit. Maybe when you're studying, maybe when you're listening like this, and then you get it, when you get a hold of it, that's my rhema. That's the word for me. And then you speak. And whatever you confess on the basis of rhema is rhema. And what happens is, you get what you say. You get what you say. See, Christianity is for living. In other words, it's something you practice. You actually watch your life grow. You see yourself making progress. Life ceases to be a mystery. I can't understand why a lot of Christians feel like life is a mystery. And it's not. You know, they're praying and trying to, oh God, you know, like God's mysterious. We don't know what's going to happen to our lives. You know, they're just living from day to day as though we don't know what's going to happen. Oh God. No, you enter every day with a sense of victory, with a consciousness of mastery. But you see, that only happens when you have Christ consciousness. Let's look at Jesus for a moment. You ready? Okay. St. John chapter 6 and verse 63. I want you to notice what he says. Oh, boy. He says, it is, I want you to hear this man of Galilee. It is the spirit that quickeneth. That means it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh profited nothing. Then he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What a confession. Jesus said it. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are not empty words. How many of you can say to somebody, the words that I speak are not empty? See that? See that? If you knew, if you were aware of such a thing, think about what your communication would be like. This, my back is always paining me. Can you imagine? This, my back is always paining me. I don't know why. You know, the talk of confusion. A vacillating spirit. Oh. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I speak words of life. I'm a blesser, not a curser. I'm a lifter. Oh boy, think about it. Think about it. Think about your life when you talk like Jesus every day. Every day. Think what kind of life you'd live. All right, now, turn to verse, same book, but verse 38. Are you there? This is a big one. Read it with me. One, two, go. Ah, stop. Maybe we didn't hear him. Since you were born, how many people have you heard say in public, I came from heaven? Hey, I told you the other day, one Christian said, I'm the heavenly man, and a book had to be written about it. Can you imagine that? Because most Christians don't know they are heavenly. Now think about it. Jesus said, look, I want you to notice the confessions of the Son of God. He says, I came down. Not I came down from Australia. Not I came down from the UK. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? I just came down from London. That's not what the man is saying. Can you think about it? In the same sense that they would say, I came down from Kano this morning. I came down from Abuja this morning. The man says, I came down from heaven. No, think of the consciousness. For him to have been so successful, he must have been aware of something that others were not aware of. He must have had a knowledge that was a mystery to others. Because he lived as a man. He proved that what he did, we could have done. That's why he lived as a man. Wow. I came down from heaven. I came down from Abuja. I came down from heaven. We've heard people come down from everywhere except heaven. Can you dare talk like him? You ought to. Jesus, I am from above. He looked at the Jews in the eyes and he says, "Ye are from beneath." And when you're born again, you're born from above. You got the life of God in you. You came from above. How we should learn, get this consciousness. No wonder he had absolute mastery. I see it now. Wow. No wonder he did the things he did. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Let's see some more. Chapter 8, St. John. No man ever spake like this man. Let's look at it, verse 12. I mean, he blew their minds. I want you all to read it. One, two, go. Think about it. He didn't say, "There's a light from God." Philosophers talk like that. There's a special light. You know, they try to make it look wonderful. But Jesus never spoke like a philosopher. He didn't say, "There's a special light. Anybody who sees that light will be great. There is a light. If you can find it." Has the philosopher seen it? No. But he tells his followers, there is a light that you must find. To be great, you must see that light. Sir, have you seen it? No. Jesus comes, not talking about the light. He says, "I am the light of the world." Revelation chapter 1. And I'm reading from verse 17. Have you found it? "And when I saw him," John's writing, "when I saw him," he's talking about when he saw Jesus. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." John says, "I fell down as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me." Remember, this was Jesus after his resurrection and ascension into glory. All right? Now he appears to John. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, 'Fear not.'" Oh, Karoba Shandarabahai. "Fear not. I am the first and the last." Hey! How could Jesus say this? He says, "I am the first and the last." He didn't say this before. How come he's saying it now? "I am he that liveth." I want to tell you why he said it. That's in the next verse. That's it. "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And I have." And have. Look at it. "And have the key of hell and of death." My. No, you know, this kind of a thing, if I were alone, I would scatter everything. Fire. Ah! It's the kind of thing that makes me run in my room. Hey! Hey! Look, I want you to listen to what he said. I want to listen to what he said. He says, "I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore." Then he says, "And have the keys the keys of hell and of death. It tells me something. In the 17th verse, he says, fear not. I am the first and the last. He says, don't be afraid. He is the only one that has the right to tell you, don't be afraid. You know why? He says, I am the first and the last. Meaning you are in between. Hallelujah. You know what? It means your journey in life is no longer a mystery. Hallelujah. Your journey in life is not a mystery anymore. He is the first and the last. Then he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Then he says, I have the keys of hell and death. Now, I want you to understand this. I want you to look at the graduation of Jesus in his ministry from one level of glory to another. I remember several months ago, sometime maybe last year or the previous year, I was sharing with you how that the anointing is in stages, in grades. You know, the glory of God in your life is manifested in grades. You move from one level to another. It was so in the ministry of Jesus, so in the ministry of the apostles. It is so today. It is evidently expressed in Scripture. Now, you remember, Jesus said, the Father will show him greater things than these. He said, he shall show him greater works than these that he may marvel. The Father would show him greater works. Meaning that the Father was going to take him to higher levels of the anointing. And it was evidently so. You see, he moved from turning water into wine to what? Stilling the wind and the waves. They said, the sea, the wind, obey him. He turned water to wine. Now he commands the waves of water to sleep. Then from that, he moved to the next level of walking on it. At this time, they couldn't say nothing anymore. He subdued it. He made water become whatever he wanted. Then he commanded the water to move according to his own dictates. Then he finally subdued it by walking on it. You understand what I'm talking about? He raised a child from the dead who had only died a few minutes before, maybe about an hour or two, maybe a short while, because he followed the father to the house when the father heard news that the child had died. And Jesus followed that one to the house. But before that, there were little miracles of what? Healing headaches, colds, and fever. And graduated from that to healing the deaf, the lame, the blind. Okay? Now, in raising the dead, there were graves. So first, this child that died maybe a short while before, and followed the father to the house, and got there and raised that girl back to life. Then after that, he moved to the next one, because they thought, she just died a few minutes before he came. So he saw one that had died evidently several hours before, because they were going to bury him now. And they were moving down to the cemetery to bury him. And Jesus was walking somewhere and saw them and saw the woman crying. He told his disciples, hold on, something here. Let me tell you what Jesus was doing. He was training his own faith. He was using his faith where nobody had to mix their faith with his faith. When he turned the water into wine, he didn't need nobody's faith in it. When he talked to the winds and waves, he didn't need nobody's faith in it. When he walked on water, he didn't need nobody's faith in it. But when he got into healing the sick, it was a higher level. He needed somebody's faith. Well, in the city of Nain, when he saw that woman crying because her son had died, he went there and touched the bier. And he said, young man, get up. The boy who was dead sat up and he delivered the boy to the mother. That one had died several hours before. That was a greater faith than the one few minutes before. And then he said, we need another one. Charging his faith. The father said he will show him greater works than these. So he moved to the next one. Lazarus, your friend, is sick. And Jesus let him die and waited until he was stinking from decomposition. He was very dead. So Jesus went. The man had been dead 4 days. Now Jesus showed up. He didn't touch him. He was outside the cave. They said, we don't know what he did to that little girl. When he touched that girl, something happened and she got up. We don't know what he did to that boy. When he touched the bier, he may have done something and the boy sat up. Well, Jesus now stood aloof from the cave. He said, Lazarus, come out. From inside the cave, they heard a noise. He was bound with grave clothes. But then he came hopping out and they saw him. Jesus raised him back to life. Hallelujah. What are we talking about? There's a consciousness, and your consciousness of the kingdom of God can grow. You see that? Your consciousness can grow. Your Christ consciousness. Begin from what you know now. Ask yourself a personal question. What do I know about Christ? What am I aware of? Where can my faith start? How much of him do I know? What can I trust for? What do I truly believe about Jesus? You know, you've got to come to a personal conclusion about Jesus. You've got to know something of the Son of God for yourself. What are you aware of? What are you conscious of? What do you know? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. This is so important in life. And I'm out of time. Mine, oh my. Oh, 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 glory to God. Christ consciousness. It'll change your life. Are you hearing me? You carry that consciousness every day. You find yourself living the supernatural life that we are called to live. You become indestructible. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say this with me. I got the life of God in me. I got the spirit of the Son of God in me. I got the life of God in me. I walk in the glory of God. Talk to the Lord.
It's time for your miracle.
I see a lady
In a dream, somebody put something into your mouth and you swallowed it. When you woke up, you felt like you wanted to throw it out. And you've been trying to throw it out ever since. And it never came out. And from time to time, you feel that discomfort from within you. And when you remember it, you want to throw up. In spite of the fact that you've thrown up several times, it didn't come out. Wherever you are, find your way to the front. Find your way. I want that lady to find her way to the front. I want to help you take that thing out of your life tonight.
Pastor, you just gave a word concerning someone
yep.
that swallowed something in a dream and has been trying to throw. I've got these ladies here
yep.
for the same case.
Come.
Pastor, there are some here too.
Okay, y'all come. It's the same devil. Just stand there. Stand there. Something is happening already. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thou devil of darkness, right now, get out of there now! Out! 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 It's coming out. It can't stay in you. It can't stay. Out of them now! Out!
In Mark chapter 9, verse 17, a certain man brought his son to Jesus for prayer. Mark chapter 9, verse 20. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Verse 26. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. These women are coughing out substances. Some of them, items that they had eaten in their dream experiences. And as they do so, the evil spirit departs from them. Glory to God.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me and God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow. This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Gambia. Junction beside Tech World Petrol Station, off Co 2 Munjai Road, The Gambia. Worship with us on Sundays 8 a.m. Wednesdays 6 p.m. For inquiries or to share your testimonies with us, kindly call +220 309 3735 +220 418 7824 or email us at info@loveworldradionetworks.org. God bless you.